Steel! Hooray!
Hooray, and this is Sarah?
God, we're annoying.
And this is Michael.
This is Michael?
And we're back. Hooray. And we're thankful that you came back with us, that after hearing the Rise of the Cybermen commentary, you didn't go, what the hell, I'm not listening to any more of that crap.
But they did, so hooray.
Yeah.
I'm never going to let it go.
Oh. Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness.
So anyway, here's the incredibly long and crazy recap.
Would you only recap about like the last 5 minutes, really, yeah, in great detail?
Here we get the lamest cliffhanger resolution ever, by the way. Even my dad just sort of laughed out loud, like, what the hell?
Well, I was sitting here like, well, how are they going to get out of this? You will be deleted.
You will perish under maximum deletion. God help us.
He's very concerned. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty scary little thing. Dum, dum, dum. And here's the theme again by Murray Gold.
Now,
hooray!
Intriguingly, most times the theme music hasn't kicked in on the second part until after the cliffhanger has resolved.
Yes.
This is one of the few ones where it just does the cliffhanger.
You almost get the feeling they wanted to make this one 90-minute episode.
Almost. And I've actually heard from people who have re-edited it that way. Yes. Because it works really well.
Where did we find Tom McRae to write this episode?
I don't know, but he's signed up to do one next year. Just one, mind.
Okay, and here, out of nowhere.
And I just love the way it leaps from Cyberman to Cyberman.
I love the way they're doing, like, the YMCA dance as they die.
Well, there's a great one later where Ian likes to point out, it looks like they're going to a rave, a gay rave, because they march in place and then turn.
The gay Cyberman.
Yeah. It's all part of Russell T. Davies' agenda.
He has one? Other than making the best Doctor Who possible?
You've never heard of RTD's gay agenda?
Every producer has their own.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jonathan Turner had one.
And the Cartmel Master Plan and all that stuff.
Yes.
Well, look, it's those pant cuffs.
And here
they are. That's a borrowed shot from the previous episode.
Well, they can reuse shots if they want to.
Yeah, they like to use that one of the nesting plant exploding, don't they? In fact, I think they use that at the end of this episode.
Mickey and Ricky are not getting along very well.
No.
I can't tell you how I would get along if I met my alternate twin. We might hate each other, too.
Might you? Or would you just, like, get all happy that there was someone to finally watch Doctor Who in silence with?
That is true. But if he's the opposite of me, from a parallel Earth, and they're a little bit different, he might like to talk during Doctor Who.
Well, it's not necessarily the opposite. He might just be, you know...
Yeah, that's right. This is an evil universe because they don't have goatees.
Right. Right. Or those sashes around the...
The Cybermen do their crazy salute.
Yeah. They're very Hitler salute, which just reinforces the whole Nazi thing. Or cyber power, I guess. God, that's a disturbing concept.
Cyber power is unique.
Well, no, but like, you know, like black power kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I actually think Pete is pretty good in these episodes.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He was well acted last year.
I just
didn't think the concept of Father's Day was all that spectacular.
Right, yeah.
I'm like the only... You and I are the only people on the internet who are intelligent enough to figure this out.
But I think he works here.
He's okay. He's better than I thought he would be.
Yeah.
When he's not beat down by Jackie. Actually, he does a lot better after Jackie is gone.
Yeah. That's all we've got to say. Goodbye.
Yeah. So anyway, Nicola Bryant, call me.
There you go.
First one of the season. Yay! Hooray!
Billy can't call me because she's got a boyfriend now. So
she does.
Leave her in peace. Yeah.
Oh, what the hell?
He broke the face of Bo.
He broke the face of Bo.
He broke the face of Bo.
She should dump him.
Well, yeah, obviously, but you know.
And come and call you up and. You can hang out.
Right.
You can double with me and Nicola.
There's an offer.
We're talking about nothing happening on screen.
Woo!
It's only taken us one episode in 6 minutes.
Yep.
That's some kind of new record.
Oh. Everything is blue again. Everything.
You know, why is it that mega geniuses who work with the bad guys are always somehow shocked when the deal changes? Like, Lumacare is
like... I really don't know.
I mean, have they not seen The Empire Strikes Back? Well, it is parallel. Maybe they don't have The Empire Strikes Back. Maybe Darth Vader is the hero of the trilogy. Oh, wait.
Maybe, but,
maybe this is a parallel universe where they don't have the new trilogy of Star Wars movies, and they're better for it.
I mean, they would obviously... They would basically have to not have any science fiction whatsoever. Because, like, all the way back to, you know, Flash Gordon serials, they've been doing this sort of thing. No, wait. Where's our friend... Friend of friend. He shows up at some point.
Yeah. If we see him, we'll point him out.
Here's Jackie.
And now Jackie's going to go down and get converted.
Oh, there he was. He was on the left. I'm serious.
Oh, cool.
Outside the screen. Lumic. So not a subtle performance.
Was it intended to be?
I really don't know.
I've never seen the actor in anything else, so I can't comment on his
style. Well, yeah, there was a lot of criticism about him because he is... apparently a popular actor from a soap, but,
it seems to be a theme of casting people on the show.
Well, soaps are a lot bigger deal.
Yeah.
Casting-wise, in the UK, I think, than they are here. It's not quite... There's not quite such a...
Stigma.
Stigma, yeah. But... Yeah.
Well, look, we've turned into a Hartnell comic.
Yep, I know.
We're getting caught up with what's going on. Because there's not... There is more happening here.
Yeah. Oh, I think
but
this
there's
is
nothing.
The cyber... Yeah, there's the merchant in place, thank God.
We haven't got to anything new to comment on yet, really.
Not really. And plus, one thing that's interesting about this is there was a credit given to Mark Platt for Spare Parts, which is a big Finnish audio.
Yes, which is a good...
A very good audio. This really isn't very much like it at all.
No,
I guess that's why they didn't ask Mark Platt just to write the thing.
That might have been... I just wonder how hard it would have been to achieve... You know, I mean, Spare Parts is helped by the fact that you don't have... The only budget for the special effects is... You can do a lot more with sound.
Right.
Oh, here we go, the ambiguously gay duo, getting ready to go off and do their own thing.
Yep. And, there is actually a little bit of Spare Parts, I think, used in a later episode... Where, interestingly, there is no credit given to Mark Platt, so, you know, what do you know?
Well, they wanted to give it to him here. Oh, and we're running. This is almost like Out of the Invasion, running down an alley.
Well, you can tell. I think it was said that Graham Harper, the only one he watched before he did this was The Invasion.
Well, that's because it was coming out on DVD.
No.
Or is coming out on DVD.
It is, but that wasn't the reason, I don't think.
Oh, here's Mad Ricky.
Now, this is split screen, and you can so tell.
I'm sorry, but his performance as Ricky is just not that good.
It's not. It's just...
He's trying too hard to be angry.
Yeah. Of course, it's about to be over here, so, you know, that's not a problem.
Now, I remember when this was coming out, there were rumors that Mickey would die.
Yeah, and I knew he wouldn't, just because Russell T. Davies' big thing is you don't kill anyone. You don't kill any of the major characters. Well, kind of takes some of the, you know, drama out of it, knowing that ahead of time, but...
Yeah.
But he's reinforced it so many times to the Doctor, who is about optimism and all that. Which I don't disagree with them fundamentally, but I do think you need to keep your options open for killing, you know...
Somebody. Yeah. But then you wouldn't be able to have Mickey possibly come back later, even though he is supposedly trapped here at the end of the story.
Yeah, well, Russell T. Davies likes to keep his options open like that.
Dear God, does this mean Jackie's coming back next year for no good reason?
Shh.
I thought maybe we were done with Jackie.
I thought maybe we were done with all of them, but...
Oh, they'll be back for the Christmas special.
I don't think so. But maybe later.
Look, it's a blank look. She's good at that.
She is good at that.
And there's lots of running in this episode. There's lots of running.
Now, there are actually several bits in this episode that... Not necessarily in context.
Yeah.
Well, in context of themselves, but not like... as a bigger part of the episode, are really nice set pieces.
Yeah.
And there's one right about here, not this so much itself, but the bit where...
Now, this would be weird to watch yourself die.
Yeah. But this bit here, where he looks down and he looks up, and the Cybermen are just watching him. That's a nice little moment.
Yeah.
It's a really creepy little moment.
And did he do a commentary? No, he did the one for Girl in the Fireplace. Nor did he do this one.
He did the one for this, too.
Twice as much Mickey.
Twice as much Mickey.
Did they pay him twice, or did he just go to Craft Services Clark twice?
I don't know. But Noel Clark is a big supporter of the new show. I mean, he's very interested in talking to fans.
Well, he's very good on his commentaries.
He is very good on his commentaries.
He's got a very good sense of humor about it.
Does?
He doesn't go hooray a lot.
No, he doesn't.
And we're all thankful.
We are thankful.
Let me go hooray for not going hooray.
Hooray.
We're assuming it's suit if Russell T. Davies ever finds these.
I think it's interesting that even in hooray, I like how Lumick has no protection on that wheelchair whatsoever.
You would think he would have something.
Some sort of fail-safe something.
Yeah.
But,
he hasn't thought his plan out very well.
But it's like the British, you know, they say, go and get an ice cream.
Yeah.
Instead of, we say, I'm going to get an ice cream. We put emphasis on a different word.
Yeah.
Even hooray is like that. We'd say, hooray! The British seem to go, hooray.
And here we are, really saluting. Weird.
Yes, and now the chair just, like, auto-moves.
Well, of course, the Cybermen have control of it. They can control everything.
They control the vertical. They control the horizontal.
They're like the Nestings. They control plastic. Or they control metal. Something.
Oh, now we get sad Jake.
What do you mean Ricky is dead? And Rose doesn't know which is which.
Well, yes, she does, actually.
Poor old Jake. He's all lonely. No one to hug him. So do you get to the feeling that like, Jake had some little crush on Ricky?
Well, I've actually read that there was supposed to be pretty much a much more on-screen relationship.
Oh.
And they kind of pared it down as the scripts went on. Which, you know, credit to him. Sometimes this stuff just gets a little too unsubtle.
Yeah.
Kind of like I think some of the Captain Jack stuff was a little too unsubtle.
Yeah.
Last year. I'm not speaking about same-sex relationships over different sex, just sex in general.
Just the overt flirting.
Yeah, well, the overt sexual material that I think occasionally just gets to be a little bit much on this show. For a kid's show. Just my two cents there.
Have you heard about this guy who writes to the BBC bitching about every detail that's not Doctor Who?
Yes.
And then they write back to him and he keeps writing.
We will consider this at our next board meeting or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's basically the BBC saying go to hell.
Yeah. He doesn't like the Michael Jackson joke with Cassandra, does he?
No. He used to be in the Doctor Who group I'm a moderator of. And
really?
We politely... After we got a couple of those, we kind of put him on moderation, so
that's
he couldn't
nice.
Post freely. And amazingly, he stopped.
Wow.
We inflicted that upon the world.
Yeah, you did.
He's proud.
Well, I think, and this whole thing about the Michael Jackson thing, that's the one that sticks with me.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think it's so much the plastic surgery joke
something about, like, the potential child molestation charges.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't like that Michael Jackson's being referred to at all because he's a potential child abuser, which,
I just don't like Michael Jackson in general, and you know, but I wasn't horribly offended by it. But then again, I am strange.
I guess. But it's like, would he been offended if they used a Michael Jackson song? Just on the grounds that it was Michael Jackson?
Hey, they made us listen to Britney Spears and End of the World.
Yeah, it's true.
That was before she went crazy.
And here's one of those weird, gratuitous references that crop up many times in this episode. Because there's a lot in this episode that is meant to evoke other old series episodes, like The Invasion, Attack of the Cybermen, I think. But this is... I'm not sure if he's already said it, or if he's about to. But
we could turn it up and help you. Oh, wait.
No, that's okay.
Because you had so much fun singing up that commentary last year.
Yeah, thanks a lot. But the doctor says there are three ways we can attack. Above, between, below.
Five doctors reference.
Well, yeah, there is no reason why he would say above, between, below, unless it's a five doctors reference, because between is such a strange word.
Well, he's
to
the
use.
Doctor.
Yeah, but it's so obviously a reference.
See, now, when I was first watching this, you know, here we're the doctor. Sorry to interrupt you.
please, I was pretty much done.
When the doctor says goodbye, you almost get the feeling like, well, maybe Mickey will die because we're saying our final goodbyes.
But why would he die when he can pull out another one of Mrs. Moore's little inventions about every 3 seconds? It's not that they keep doing that. Mrs. Moore has invented something. They do it like 3 times.
Well, I'm just saying. You know, here it was, you know, this was... I almost get the feeling like at this point, this is the point at which Mickey went, you know what, even if I survive, I'm not staying with them. I'm going to stay here.
Yeah,
fair enough. Actually do something useful here, because he realizes that Rose loves the doctor too much.
Yeah.
And even though he realizes that the doctor is going to eventually break her heart because he's going to leave her behind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to be the one who stands to pick up the pieces anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of is interesting based on what happens at the end of the season.
Yes. Ah, the color for atmosphere is blue.
Where Mickey runs off with Jackie and they have children. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. And yet I like the finale more than I expected to.
Well, I won't get into it here, but the finale was everything parting of the way it should have been last year. This year.
That's true. But I mean, the Mickey-Jackie relationship.
I did not understand that. I mean, when we first see them in bed together, that was a little horrifying.
Yeah, and then the triplets.
Yeah, well...
You know.
Now, see, I like this. This was very atmospheric. Where they're passing the row upon row of Cybermen.
But it's still the invasion, or Attack of the Cybermen.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I mean, it was, but I liked it. I mean, when we get to the point where the one comes alive, you know, of course, you know, it's the standard monster movie, because, like, you pass one that looks dead, and it comes alive. That was still pretty creepy.
I mean, later you'll get the inert Cyberman aboard the Zeppelin, which is definitely Tomb.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just several of them, and it just gets kind of annoying. It's like, couldn't they come up with anything? Couldn't Tom McRae come up with anything original? God, McRae!
Do you wonder if Tom McRae is a pseudonym?
No, because I know he's got other credits to his
name. I just wonder how much of this was his and how much this was rewritten by other people.
I don't know. I know Russell T. Davies wrote the opening of the first episode, with Lumic bringing the Cyberman to life.
Oh, I thought maybe he rewrote the part where the TARDIS is destroyed, which is amazingly not even brought up until the last 5 minutes of this episode.
Maybe, but I know for a fact he wrote the teaser.
Well, Russell has to do something to get his giant paycheck.
Billy should really look a lot better in this outfit than she does. Sorry, random comment.
Perry would look good in that outfit.
Yes.
Anyway, I hope no one I actually know in real life who...
I hope none of the people we talk about ever hear these.
I'm just scared.
Because, I mean, we aren't doing this in sort of a sense of fun, but still...
They might think we're a little stalkerish and weird. Now, I just don't know, you know, why don't the Cybermen somehow detect, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. Why don't they detect that somebody's under their influence?
It beats me, Michael.
I don't know.
There's a bunch of things about the Cybermen in this episode that don't make sense.
So how much of this is real, and how much of this is the mill?
Probably most of it's the mill. Not the shots of the Zeppelin.
Well, I like the mill. Not as much as everyone else does in the commentaries. Where the mill is fantastic.
But they do.
They can do no wrong. It's for the budget they're given, it looks great.
And particularly this year. It's one of Mrs. Moore's little inventions.
She's like, look, it's little bottles of alcohol. We can get drunk.
Those look like little bottles of vanilla to me. You know, like you used to flavor cakes and things.
So they're going to flavor cake. They're going to flavor the Cybermen to death?
Yeah, basically. It's flavoricious.
And here we go. We'll get them. I love the expression as the guys pass out. That's pretty funny. This is the most exciting commentary we've ever recorded.
It really is, isn't it?
I'm sorry, what?
So what were you expecting out of this episode? This two-parter, shall we say.
Let me see. What was I expecting? Well... I was expecting when part one was called Rise of the Cybermen for the Cybermen to actually show up before the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I guess I was too. I mean, I was thinking, this year I really just didn't know nearly as much about the individual episodes as I did last year.
Well, this is a very an homage to the Trout and Cybermen stories, where I think we talked about this on Tomb, the classic way a Cybermen story unfolds is the first half... You know they're kind of there, they're threatening the background,
right.
They're hidden, and then they make a big burst on the scene for the last half.
Right.
I don't know. I expected there to be more with the Cybermen. And I don't know what I want to say that they could have done better or more of.
Yeah.
But at the end of this, I came away feeling kind of disappointed with these two episodes.
I guess I'm wanting more of a scary feel to it than what strikes me as very much an adventure serial.
Well, I can see that point. That's a good point. They do spend... seems to they. And don't get me wrong. I like character and character development.
Yep.
But it seems like there were two... like, most of episode one was so exposition-heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a good way.
A lot of their first parts are on this new series.
But I guess... let's see. Like, Dr. Dances and the Empty Child didn't... Empty Child doesn't feel... It doesn't feel like the plot is coming to a halt so we can stop and make a point.
That is true.
This one, it feels at times like the plot is coming to a halt so we can do some character stuff or make a point.
But here's an interesting thing for you.
Now, this was creepy, where the Cybermen are coming to life and they're running past them. Not that it hasn't been done in every sci-fi movie.
Ever.
Ever. But I still liked it.
Yeah. This next scene is one I like. The next one with the Doctor and Mrs. Moore, anyway. And here we're doing the tomb thing again, where they've got to get out of the tomb.
And I guess if...
And then
yeah.
The Cyberman, you know, grabs somebody's leg or tries to get out. They do it in the invasion, too. Anyway, what was I going to say? Hold on. Hold, please.
Now, here's the interesting thing. In the whole cyber factory, they happen to find the one Cyberman who was once Jackie.
It's Doctor Who, man.
Oh,
I knew Doctor Who at that.
Oh, I know, and I understand. This is kind of where I understand, you know, why having Jackie cyberized. I should have felt something more than I did here.
I thought it was a nice sort of ew moment, but it didn't get me as much as I expected.
Well, it was. I felt sorry for.
See,
Rose.
Here we go. Here's the eugenics, the ethnic cleansing thing again.
Yeah.
We're gonna get rid of all the disabled people. Yeah. The gay people, the people who aren't good enough. And that reinforces the Nazi concept, which I just don't quite...
Well, the Cybermen weren't the Nazis.
They never were, and I think it really dumbs them down to make them that way.
And, now, that's pretty cool where the head...
That is nice.
You know.
Now, you notice, I think that had an arm gun.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're upgrading.
Or maybe it's a borrowed shot from another... later appearance.
From a test of the CGI.
Sure, sure.
That's right. Because we don't want to give away things about the season finale. So we have to beep things out later in the commentary. So I'll give away things about the Satan Pit. So anyway, it's supposed to be a little girl in the Satan Pit, but they went with Satan himself. Sarah's not going to ever let me do commentaries with her again.
Just got my head in my hands at this point. I'm like, why?
We really run out of things to say about this.
Well, no, I've actually got a good point coming up.
Okay, good. And the tear ducts. I like that little, you know, that they look like that.
Yeah.
Conceptually, I think the Cybermen look good.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, we turned into Cybermen. No! They get out of this pretty lamely, too.
Yeah, they do.
They get into trouble and get out of it pretty lamely throughout the course of the series.
Well, it's called everything's much more fast-paced. So you have to.
Well, I guess the Cybermen can't lock them in the room for four episodes.
Here's the Zeppelin. Again, you get the impression they use Zeppelin just so they could have a Zeppelin.
They just like saying the word Zeppelin.
And here's the inert Cyberman, which, definitely a Tomb of the Cybermen reference.
Yeah. Is there a way you can kill them when they're inert?
I would think ripping their heads off might do something.
Now, the good part about these Cybermen, as compared to the 80s Cybermen, is they're not wetting themselves if gold appears in the room or someone says the word gold. It's kind of good that they dropped that weakness. Because I mean, it was good in Earthshock.
Yeah.
But when you got to, like, Silver Nemesis, and you're like, gold! I must run! That was annoying. Oh, we woke up the dog.
The dog was like, what high pitch?
But yeah, you know, where it went from gold gumming up their works to, like, gold was in the same vicinity they blew up.
Yeah. And here, one of Mrs. Moore's little tricks.
It's amazing how many of these she was just sitting around, like, in case I meet a metallic race of people.
Right, yeah. But this bit here, where they... This is a nice moment, when they take the chest plate off and they see that this person was human.
Yeah.
It kind of... For one thing, it's a woman, which, of course, every fan has been waiting for a long time.
The cyber chick.
But it is a very creepy concept.
Yeah.
This idea that the doctor essentially has to perform euthanasia.
Yeah.
What doesn't work for me is this later thing where he simply kills mass quantities of Cybermen because it's the only thing he can think of to do. It's the same problem I had at the end of the world, except twofold now because the doctor isn't battle scarred anymore.
Yeah.
Why is he still committing intentional mass murder to get his way out of it? I mean, I've very rarely seen the doctor do that.
What else can he do? I mean, can you see it? If you get the Cybermen their emotion back, they go crazy.
Yeah, I just don't... As a writer, I don't think it's an acceptable way out. I think it...
Well, I just wonder if maybe they needed to find a way to shut off the Cybermen.
I guess.
Of course, that would be too much like the Borg with the sleep command from Best of Both Worlds.
Yeah.
Part 2. Which, if you haven't seen that, I'm ruining it for you. Too bad.
Yeah, well. I don't know. It just feels, quoting Davison, there should have been another way.
Well, yeah, and it's not like they didn't have, like, plenty of time to rewrite and come up with something.
It's just, I never like it when the Doctor comes up with these... He has violent solutions sometimes, and solutions that will kill people.
Yes.
But this is a lot of people. And...
Pretty much most of the population... So, are the Cybermen only invading London?
Right now, yes.
Okay.
I think the others are still dormant.
Yeah, okay. Unlike... You know, you would think that if you had an invasion plan, it would be better to invade everywhere at once rather than just one country. But since, you know, this is filmed in the UK, and since we already had, you know, the...
the Taj Mahal.
What are those people who were trying to... The Sycorax, who tried to invade at Christmas and invade everywhere.
Oh, right.
They actually had a decent plan. Let's kill everyone in the world all at once.
Well, the finale has a... You know,
I was trying not to give away things about
Taj
the finale.
Mahal.
Oh, okay. I was trying not to give away things about the finale.
Well, you can see there's an invasion.
Well, I could, but then I don't want to say who it is.
Never mind.
I was trying to help you out for editing these
commentaries. Yeah, I'm sure you were.
So anyway, the Daleks are in the sphere.
At this point, I don't think I can even bother, can I? I just get to put up a little warning.
If you haven't seen these, don't listen. So here's Mickey and Pete.
But I'm just going to put up, Michael gives it all away.
I should call my podcast, I give it all away.
Mrs. Moore here, she...
It was a shame she died, I liked her.
Well, but, I mean, she gets crept up on by the one Cyberman that doesn't make huge glunking metal noises.
Well, he was wearing his slippers. He was peeper cold. He had cyber slippers. They'll be out of Christmas.
Out of Christmas.
It's a tie-in.
I bet it is.
There'll be an exciting young adult novel, The Cyber Slippers of Doom.
Yes.
It will feature Rose and be read by David Tennant on CD.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone will buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will listen to it.
Now, okay, here's something I want to talk about.
Okay, good.
Is, I think the Doctor tends to work better when he has a human or humanoid character to face off against. You can really see it in the early episodes of this year. He has, even if it's not a villain, and a not always willing accomplice like Queen Victoria. Or even to a certain point, Madame de Pompadour.
Yes.
And the final half of the season, I think, is weaker in some ways because he doesn't have really human people he can stand up against. Actually, until episode 12. But this one doesn't work for me. I don't understand why he has to face up against Lumic. I actually think it would be much more interesting in a... If he just took on the Cybermen directly. It was always more interesting when he took on the Cybermen directly.
Because they want him to choose scenery with somebody.
Kind of like, it's always more interesting when the Doctor takes on the Daleks than the Doctor versus Davros, I think. It worked in Genesis, and it works in Revelation.
Yeah.
But most of the time, Davros is really just there to be a figurehead the Doctor can talk to.
Yeah, well, you know.
And that's what Lumic is doing here, completely.
Well, that's why Terry Nation wrote Davros, because it was hard to write pages of dialogue for the Daleks to sit around and spew.
But it's... I think it's easier than Terry Nation made out.
Well...
And this is silly. Why are the Cybermen not even stopping people from leaving?
Well, because there's so many of them, and the Cyber...
But that doesn't make any sense.
Well, see, you're thinking again. You can't think about this. You just gotta go with it.
I guess. So, but...
There's our buddy Lumic.
Even if it were a cyber leader type character, yeah. It'd be easier to talk to than... It would be more interesting to dive in and talk to than just mad scientist man in cyber suit.
Well, that is true. With the glowing eyes.
And the exposed brain.
I didn't understand why he had to have the glowing eyes and the exposed brain.
Nope.
What none of the other Cybermen do.
Nope.
Unless he's the controller.
Well, he is the controller, but he's only the controller because they wanted to have a controller. If you know what I mean.
They've never had any big desire to have... Well, the Cybermen are just... as an homage to the past.
Yeah, I think, basically. And here we get the whole, you know... You can destroy everything with a cell phone, which magically links in with all of Lumic's technology, which, oh god, yeah. Kill me now.
Now, I do like this, how he explains the whole how to defeat them, and then Mickey happens to overhear it. You know, this is where the Doctor notices a detail, but you think the Cybermen might notice this little detail. Like, oh, by the way, we're on candid camera. Maybe we shouldn't let him give away the whole way to defeat us.
And again, atmosphere, so everything's blue. Blue, 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 blue.
Now, amazingly, we've made it through, what, an hour and 15 minutes of Series 2 commentary.
Yeah.
We haven't really commented on Tenet that
much. That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, David Tennant. This is actually one of those scenes I don't like with him. I don't think he does this whole run around and be crazy thing quite as well. I like him when he can be a little more serious.
I liked him a lot... To be more written to what
his strengths. That's because he's serious.
This one, I almost could see Eccleston doing a better job.
Mm-hmm.
In this one. And then maybe even in the Satan pit.
I think definitely in the Satan pit. He has long chunks of exposition to deliver, and I think
Eccleston
would have been much better at that.
It's not that I don't like Tennant.
No, and in many ways I prefer Tennant to Eccleston. He's more doctory.
Yeah.
But there's certain things that he's better at.
Yeah. And I'd,
certain ways of playing things. And you saw that a lot more in the earlier episodes than this.
Well, yeah. He's not as... You know, there's always the common criticism of McCoy that he's not good at playing extremely anger.
Yeah, I think a very valid criticism.
And Tennant tries to do that kind of sometimes. Now, sometimes he is very good in dark and menacing.
But,
like,
yeah.
In the scene in School Reunion where he's talking to... Anthony Stewart Head
yeah.
Across the pool.
That's great, but when he starts shouting, you can just forget it.
I guess what I'm saying, Eccleston does a very good quiet menace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, even going back to the Christmas Invasion where he goes, I'm a new man, no more second chances.
You mean Tennant.
Yeah, Tennant.
Eccleston was good at sort of a boiling anger.
Yeah.
That reached a boiling point, and then he did start shouting, and he was really good at that.
Yeah.
Tennant really is better with the menacing...
you know,
yeah, that's the kind of man I am.
As opposed to the fighting hand.
Yeah. Oh, and here a cell phone just destroys everything.
It's a good thing to know that my cell phone can destroy alien invaders.
Just by slamming it into a piece of hardware. Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
And they look at each, and then they look in the mirror and they see themselves.
Again, nice little set piece.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm not sure why the factory blows up here in a minute.
Because it's supposed to.
I guess so.
No, it's interesting.
And you can turn off their emotional inhibitors just with one little code. There! Look, it's the Rose thing exploding again.
They didn't say the Cybermen were, you know, the smartest villains in the universe.
I guess.
It's a good thing this is labeled.
Yep.
But, I mean... Back to Tennant.
Back to Tennant.
I thought at the beginning of the season, and I even commented on this in a review I wrote, that this could almost be like a Pertwee to Tom Baker, kind of. You know, he had that kind of energy. Tom Baker had energy. Tennant definitely has energy. Mm-hmm. Tennant has a what I call the Tom Baker childlike wonder
mm-hmm.
at times. I'm just not sure he's quite caught on yet.
Yeah.
I mean, even...
some of that might have to do with the fact that he really just doesn't quite work with Rose.
Yeah.
With a better companion, he may do better. And it's not that he's doing badly. He's just...
I think maybe this year... Maybe this is a complaint of the season. They had a lot of things where they forced jokes and they kept beating a joke to death. Mm-hmm. Like in Tooth and Claw, where they kept trying to get Queen Victoria to say, "We do not approve.
No, we are not amused."
Whatever. You know, it got kind of... It felt like there were times when the two of... Like, I don't know who came up with the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But they almost felt like some of the Tom Baker jokes from the Grant Williams era, where they were so... You know, I just wonder if Tennant wanted to do these things, and they were like, okay, we'll let you do this one, even though it's stupid.
Right. I don't know. I think he's got a little ways to go yet before he quite works. But he's getting there.
But, you know, Rose was not written to be his companion.
Nope.
And like I said, you know, I think...
And he is like McCoy. Well, not quite like McCoy. Yeah. In ways like McCoy, a replacement. I mean, he's a replacement for somebody who was, I'm pretty sure now, expected to have gone on.
Yeah.
And chose not to.
But it's like here, you know, they're escaping and they're having too much fun.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I have some big expectations of Tennant for his next series.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't have the immediate... You know, I'm looking forward to it, mm-hmm. based on what we saw in the end. But it's not as immediate of like, oh, I've got to see what happens next, a la the end of Parting of the Ways, where you were kind of like at a point... You know, like this year, the cliffhanger for the series, end of the series, felt very tacked on.
It is very tacked on.
Like, okay, we've resolved all of this.
The story, and now here's something else. It's like a Hartnell cliffhanger.
Or I compared it... Enterprise Season 3, where they just finished saving everyone from the Zindi, and I thought Captain Archer was dead. That would have been a really good place to leave it.
Right.
And they came on with the Nazi aliens cliffhanger, because it was like, oh my god, Nazi aliens. And I'm like, at that point, it kind of ruined the momentum of the last episode, because instead of remembering how well it wrapped everything up, you were like, oh, that's that, they had to do that.
Yep.
So anyway, now that we haven't really given away the cliffhanger, we just said there is one.
Interesting thing to me is that this season, like I said, is, to me, a better one than last year. Even though last year had a couple of instant classics.
This one's more consistent.
This one's got kind of a consistent above-averageness to it.
Yeah.
Although there are no, in my opinion, episodes that just scream instant classic. Like and Dalek, one, this one, Child did.
And maybe that was, you know, you asked what my expectations... Maybe my expectations was that it was going to be a classic.
This one, yeah.
I just sort of... It sort of felt like... This should be this is a two-parter. This was kind of, you know, what the first half of the season was built around.
Mm-hmm.
Was all leading to this. And then you got to it, and I guess my thing was I expected School Reunion to almost be fan wank, and it surprised me at how good it was that I actually sort of was sniffling when K-9 died.
Same here, yeah.
I
didn't expect to like it, and I did.
I think a lot of that is Anthony Stewart Head is just fantastic in it.
That's true. And it's well written.
It's well written, and it's more simple than this one.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically, you know, there's an alien invasion going on, the Doctor has to stop it, but that's just a backdrop for introducing Rose to the consequences of being the companion that, yes, you're going to be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the emotional standpoint, it works.
Right.
You know, it was trying to be what Father's Day was last year, and it actually succeeded in making me actually care and feel something. Okay. Then you got to The Girl in the Fireplace, where I knew nothing about it going in, except for the preview, and I thought, this is going to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen. People walking around, you know, friends, revolutionary, I'm like, who cares? I'll watch it, because it's Doctor Who.
Right.
And I sat there, and it was just absolutely just engrossed by it.
Mm. I didn't love it quite as much as you did, but I really liked it, and I was really surprised by it.
And so I thought, well, you know, maybe, you know, they started off kind of slow.
And that is kind of the thing. You go into this thing of, like, a couple of two or three really good episodes. You're like, okay, it's just building.
Yes. And I'm like, now we have the Cybermen coming back. This is where we're putting all our eggs in this basket. Because this is going to be, and then, you know, kind of like last year, Dalek kind of set up the second half of the season.
That's right.
this doesn't set up anything for the second half of the season.
No. And if anything, it stops threads that had been building for the first half of the season.
Because after this one, we don't really start to deal with Rose, the consequences of being the companion anymore.
Nope, and we don't deal with the change thing. We don't deal with the evolution thing. All we deal with
is forcing in Torchwood in every episode.
That's right. It all kind of falls by the wayside.
Which, that was my big worry about Series 2, was when the Queen of Torch said, we'll call it Torch. I was like, oh, I swear, if Series 2 is just all one big, long preview for Torchwood, I was going to be kind of annoyed. But luckily, it turns out not to be that way.
Although I still have some issues with that.
But no, Torchwood is about as subtle as Bad Wolf was.
Actually, it's less subtle.
You know.
But it is resolved better, but I still have a little trouble with the idea of basically promoting what's supposed to be an adults-only series on a kid show.
Yeah, because the kids are going to want to watch now.
It doesn't matter that, like, Russell TV is giving them their own Torchwood or whatever. They're still going to see it in the TV Guide or the Radio Times and want to watch.
And I sort of thought, when we got to, and maybe we'll talk about it, if you and I do the commentary for the season finale. Mm-hmm. I thought one of the things that was going to happen that was that the Doctor was going to go get Captain Jack, or Captain Jack was already going to be there. See, my original thought was it was Captain Jack in the sphere, waiting for the Doctor to come and release him, to help him deal with what was going on.
Yeah, I wasn't
That might
sure.
have been a little more interesting than
what we got.
What was in there. I'm just saying, what if, I mean, you know, I can't say, because I'm not the one writing the show. Russell T. Davies is, and he has the power to do whatever he wants. It's his show right now.
Right.
He's not listening to me. He's not calling me for help. But he should be.
Yeah.
But I think this started, like, the middle of the season, just sort of, yeah, it's okay. It's not particularly great. It's not particularly, I mean, the season finale was good.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing you said about this is it's just not the classic everyone expected.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of there. You don't really remember it afterwards. It's not.
Yeah.
Not to say I dislike the second half of the season, but it really just doesn't seem to pick up where the first half was going.
Yeah, and I don't know. Well, you know, Fear Her had that just god-awful child actress. I'm not sure if it's her fault or she was just miscast.
But, I mean, even episodes I like in the second season, of which there are several, just really don't quite follow on from this. Maybe the Satan Pit ones do a little bit. But it's...
Well, it's sort of dealt with a little bit with the Doctor's Rose, and then he drops.
But it's minimal. Mickey's been left behind. And we get this ridiculous ending where he talks about having saved the world with a big yellow truck.
Yeah. And now we go to see Jackie.
Forgotten she was in this one.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, this would have been a good point maybe for Rose to leave the TARDIS.
Maybe. But
I mean, I understand that she wants to go and have this adventure and she's enjoying it, but I just wondered if there should have been, you know, based on what she saw with Sarah Jane, and then what she saw here
with Mickey,
there should have been a little bit more, other than her going, wow, traveling is fun. There should have been more of an embracing of, wow, traveling is fun, but there are some consequences to it. And, you know, it's almost like they don't want to, she and the Doctor don't want to face up to.
Yeah, and then it doesn't pop up again until Army of Ghosts.
Yes. You know. Well, you know, Torchwood is just... Okay, here's my thing with Army of Ghosts, too. Where was UNIT? I mean, I understood Torchwood has its own.
I really don't think they're allowed to use UNIT now.
Oh, that sucks.
I actually wish they'd never reintroduced it, so...
Well, I guess they just don't want to have the Brigadier in there.
No, I think it's they're not allowed to use it because the United Nations don't like it.
Why?
Because it uses the United Nations name, and they're a little more protective of it now.
Okie dokie then, and now we have the preview for
The Idiot's Lantern, which I know you didn't like very much, but I thought was really, really good.
I guess I need to rewatch. I guess I had this expectation.
That's okay. A lot of people didn't like it. I know quite a few people think it's the weakest one of the season.
I don't know about that. I think Fear Her would be the weakest link of the season.
But
that's a debate for another time.
It is indeed. So
I think maybe my part of the problem is with some of these, this one and Idiot's Lantern and fear her. It seems like they went, wouldn't it be cool if the Doctor did something like rode on a motorcycle?
Mm.
And then they built the whole episode around it.
I'm not sure I buy that for the Idiot's Lantern, but I see where you're going anywhere. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. God, I'm tired.
So here we are. It's the ending credits, and we've wasted an hour and a half of your life.
We have.
Hooray!
Hooray. Sorry it wasn't more exciting.
We promise we'll be snarkier on our next one.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
We'll use the F word more.
Two parties are hard to deal with.
God, this is why we break up our commentaries on classic series. We can't do four parties all in one go. Otherwise, by the fourth episode, we'd be like, yeah, this sucks. Shut up.
Yeah, pretty much. So, well, thank you for listening.
So, and enjoy, and we'll probably be back soon.
Bye-bye.